you so much for joining us. I'm ecstatic to tell you that today we're going to complete our exploration of the definition of hishtadlus and how much hishtadlus a person should really do. And it's going to be defined by the eloquent words of the Mesilas Yesharim. This is the end of his second piece about bitachon. He tells us, Ela haderech ha'amiti, what is the true path that a person should take in life? And this is so direct and clear for us. Hudarkam shel chasidim harishonim. It's the way of the earlier, very pious, very from people who are close to Hashem. Osim Torah san ikar, amalach san tefela. They make their Torah the main thing, their ruchnis, their spirituality is the main part of their life. And their malacha, their work, their worldly endeavors are going to be secondary. And then both are able to endure. Oh, incidentally, today is Tuesday, November 15th, 2022. Looks like Chaf Alf Cheshvan, Tavshin Pei Gimel. It's Tuesday, Yom Shlishu, the Parshas Chayesara. So what does it mean that Torah is Iker and the Malacha is Tafel? That means there's the mainstay of life and then there's what goes with it to help it. It's a secondary thing. And if we have that attitude and we're not preoccupied with malacha and hishtadlus, then we're able to have both ruchnius and gashmius coexisting and enduring. Kikevon sha'asa adam ketzas malacha, because once a person did some work, a little bit of work, which we're going to define soon, misham v'hala, from there on, ein lo ela lif toach bekono. Once I've done what I can do and what I need to do, I have only one course of action. There's only one thing I can do, and that's to trust in Hashem. That is the only thing I can do right now, and that's the only thing, the only course of action, the only approach that's going to bring me success. And we're going to talk about how much hishtadlus to do. That's going to be the main topic today. One thing to keep in mind is sometimes we feel, I just can't do anything else. I've spent so many hours, so much energy. I've bent over backwards. I've stretched myself. I know that I can't do anything else. That is a sure sign that I have maxed out with my hishtadlus. And mikan ve'elach, this is the point where bitachon takes over. And the Mesilas Yesharim says, I underline these words. They're so powerful. They're packed with inspiration. As long as we've done what we can, and we can't do any more, and then we trust in Hashem, we have to realize there's no point in being sorrowful, in being anguished, in being exasperated on anything worldly. I'm going to say the words again. It's for myself. Not to be in pain, to be in discomfort, to be anxious. Al shum dover olami, on anything worldly, anything about olam hazeh. And it's kedai to think of something or other. What is there something that I'm anxious about? Is there something that I'm sorrowful about? I'm regretting, maybe I don't need to be regretting it so much. And what I'm doing is I'm processing it too much. So what I have to realize is, lo litzta'er al shum dover olami, not to be pained, not to be exasperated and anxious and worried and preoccupied about anything worldly. We already learned the Gemara that says, Ashrei Adam Mafache Tamid. Oh yes, fortunate and happy is a person who is constantly afraid. But what was that about? We said, Ahu B'divrei Torah Ksiv. That's about Torah. Mafache means that I have to be apprehensive about the fact, and I have to be thoughtful and pensive. Maybe I need to learn a little more, or maybe I need to be more careful with mitzvahs. But worldly things? I am not supposed to be in pain, emotional anguish about these things. Then the person's mind will be free. There'll be space in a person's brain and in emotions. And his heart will be prepared by him freeing himself from these worries. For true piety, closeness to Hashem, going beyond the letter of the law, doing chesed to its fullest, putting our whole heart into it, and to a whole perfect service of Hashem, the best we can accomplish. We have two tasks ahead of us today that remain. One of them is, let's try to figure out how much hishtadlus we're supposed to do. Because the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva, Rav Cheskel Sarna, in his Pirush of the Mesilas Yesharim, he says, I don't understand what's going on. Because Where do we learn that we have to do ishtadlus? We have to put forth efforts in relationships and for parnasa and for health, especially parnasa. The Mesillas Yesharim is talking about. Where do we learn it from? What's the pasuk? Bezeas hapecha tochalechem. Hashem told Adam HaRishon that with the sweat of your brow, you're going to be eating bread. You have to sweat. You have to work hard. And then the Mesillas Yesharim comes along and says, oh, no, kivon she'ishtadel, once a person put forth some effort and endeavored, hare yotzei din chavoso, he fulfilled his obligation, but how much is there? He said it's a small amount. It's really not that much. He said, eize hishtadlus, a little bit, eize hishtadlus, some kind of effort, some kind of work. It sounds like the Mesillas Yesharim is minimizing the amount of hishtadlus we have to do. He even says it later. Katsas malacha, a little bit. But the pasuk said, bezeas apecha tochalechem. It seems like a contradiction. Because the pasuk says you have to sweat it out. You have to really work hard. You have to apply yourself. You have to invest your energies into your efforts. And the Mesillas Yesharim says, katsas malacha, only a little bit. Isn't that a contradiction? How could he be interpreting the pasuk that way? How are we supposed to understand this? How much hishtadlus are we supposed to do with relationships, with people, with family, especially children and siblings and parents and with work and also with procuring medicines and cures and the proper doctors? How much hishtadlus? And here's the lashon of Rabbi Cheskel Sarna, Tzoruch Iyun Kamahu Hashir. We need to look into how much, down to the nitty gritty, how much hishtadlus do we have to do? We learn from the pasuk, Bezeas Apecha Tochalechem. You have to sweat it out. You have to do a lot. Uvekitzas Malacha Harei Ein Zeas Apayim. There is no sweat of the brow if you only do a little bit of work. How can the Mesillas Yesharim declare that you only have to do a little bit? The pasuk says you have to do a lot. So here is the solution. What do you think? How do we navigate this? This is a mystery. The Mesillas Yesharim seems to present, and Rabbi Cheskel Sarna says, I don't know how to solve it, but I'm going to tell you how to solve it. There's a way to do it. When we have Meleches Vaday, there's certain work, there's certain tasks that we know we have to do. It's clear. There's no doubt. There's a certain regimen of work we have to do. He gives an example. We know that when Hilchos Shabbos, there are Lamentes Malachos. And in the first, he says 11. It's really, first number, he says 10. There's really 11. That's Sidur Dapas, the making of the ingredients for the dyes in the, to make the Mishkan, or the Lechem Aponim, according to the Talmud, Yerushalmi. When you have a list of tasks that has to be done, there is total clarity there. There's no ambiguity. These are the things I have to do. If I need to get food, I have to go shopping. I have to get in the car and go shopping and buy food. I know that I have to do that. So this is imperative. It's compulsory. This is necessary. This is bezeas apecha tochalechem. Even if it takes a lot of exertion and a lot of investment of emotion and time and energy, I have to do that. That's not unnecessary hishtadlus. That's necessary effort hishtadlus. So then what's the area that I only need to do a tiny bit? That's what the Mesillas Yesharim is telling us when he says katsas malacha. So Rabbi Cheskel Sarna says, how do I interpret? Where is that area of work and labor that I only have to do a little bit and then I'm yotzei? He says, v'hishtadlus ke'ele shumasupuk b'toalton. There comes a point that I'm not sure. Do I need to do more? Is it necessary? By the way, if I know that I can't do anymore, then for sure, bitachon has to take over. I maxed out on my efforts. I'm exhausted. I'm over the top. I know I can't do anymore. Then what am I going to do? Agonize over that? No, I have to immediately implement and activate bitachon. In that case, there's also an ambiguous area. There's a gray area. I'm not sure. Maybe more, maybe not more. Says Rabbi Cheskel Sarna, that must be what the Mesillas Yesharim is talking about when he says katsas malacha. When I'm not sure, I could say, I'm going to do more and more. I'm going to be industrious. I'm going to be resourceful. And I'm going to produce more and more. More and more hours. More and more efforts to patch up the relationship. More and more research into medicines and doctors and various types of remedies. He says, no. That's the place where the Mesillas Yesharim says, if anything, There we do a little, just a little bit, if anything. That's Ketzas Malacha. There, Kivan Sheishtadel Hare Yotzei Dechavasa. That's a little bit of effort. And that's, we fulfilled our obligation, we discharged our Chiyuv in that case, and that's it. All of Lahashlich al Hashem Yahavo. At that point, we have to send our burden on Hashem. Below Kotzrayat Hashem Miloshia Barabo Vimat. And Hashem's hand is not too short to save with a lot or a little. Resources, amount of resources, that makes no difference at this point already. That's all bitachon. Now, does that make sense the way that was explained? So in other words, there are certain things I know I have to do. If there's a test that I'm studying for, I know I have to study that material the best that I can. If I can't do anymore, I'm finished, I'm exhausted, I know I can't, that's where bitachon has to come in. I also need bitachon to be able to do anything, even to do the little bit of ishtavus in the beginning. That's of course clear. But in life, we have this all the time. People ask, people say, I tried to patch up this relationship, I tried to make it work, I did the best I could, but it didn't work. Now I'm in agony, of emotional anguish over it. No, no, no. That's where we're supposed to have bitachon, because I did the best I can. And then there are cases, I'm not sure, should I do more? Should I not do more? So then we need Das Torah guidance, we need Chachamim to guide us, we need the Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebapeh to guide us. But that's the place where it's going to be bitachon, in the ambiguous area. That, is that clear? That's how Rabbi Cheskel Sarna understands that it seemed to be a contradiction between the pasuk the Mesillas Yesharim brings, which means you have to really sweat and exert yourself for Ishtadlus, and then he himself, the Mesillas Yesharim, goes and says, you only have to do a little bit. That's because the Ishtadlus that we have to do, for sure, the sweating of the brow, that's in the things that are clear. And whatever is not clear, or I mean, I know I've done enough, then it's going to be all bitachon. And then we might say, but what do you mean to bitachon? Maybe it won't work out. No, no, no. Lo kot Yad Hashem. Hashem is not unable. Hashem is not incapable. Chas v'shalom. He is capable. There's no inadequacy with Hashem's abilities. Milhoshia barabo mimad. He's paraphrasing a pasuk. When there's a lot or a little of resources, of people, of helpers, of medicines, of research, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be, oh, I need a lot more, a lot more. No. It could be a tiny bit that I did, and that'll be enough. This is a very big guide for life, because it actually exempts us and releases us from constantly worrying, maybe I need to do more. And that's the way that we can really be emancipated from anxiety in so many situations.
Does the more that you do have to have a big window? Like, there are things that you do a little bit more, like buying a lottery ticket. So a right. little bit, you put in a little, and you could have potentially win bigger. Versus, like, staying 5 minutes later at work, which is not really... doesn't really give Hashem a lot of elasticity if he wants to give you $1 million.
Right. No, so both of those, in other words, that's a good question. The question was, is there a window of more? Is that how you said it? Like, is there considered? So, see, the Mesillas Yesharim's Lashon, he said it in a couple different ways to make it abundantly clear. First, he said it, all you have to do is kivan shei, he says, eza hishtalus. So really a person has to judge, and we have to try to like use, as he says in many places, Hashem gave us seichel yashar. Like, it makes sense. The lottery ticket is a great example. That's what they always say. That kind of hishtalus, to buy one, that's Hashem can save with a little or a lot. He can rescue, but I don't need to buy 50 or 100 of those. And the five more minutes at work, that also could be something if a person feels, I'm not sure. See, he says, when I'm not sure, then do just a tiny bit. That's the way that he gives it. He gives a prescription. I'm not sure whether, or it's a thing that, you know, if this could be the means for a lot more parnasa or whatever, more success, then I only really need to do a little bit in that case. Now, why am I saying that's in the suffix? Because all those are in the not sure. Once you've done more than you have to do, that's already in the maybe and maybe not area. That's the way I understand it, because I know that I have to do up to a certain amount. Past that amount, that I don't know that I have to do that. That's a maybe yes, maybe no. So therefore, what do? A very little bit. That's the way he explains it. I don't know if that explains what the question you asked. Did I answer that at all? Not really. Can you maybe, like, how? What's the?
Yeah. I mean, let's say you work by the hour, right?
Right.
Not on commission. So if you stay by work for 5 more minutes, you clock 5 more minutes.
Oh, I see. Right.
You can't expect that Hashem Baruch Hu can send you $500 for the 5 more minutes that you clocked when you know that your pay rate. Bitachon is l'mayla min ha-teva, but kafi derech ha-teva, you're not really giving a hishtablus that could bring, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send more your way, mm-hmm. and he wants to do it b'derech ha-teva, you're not really doing something that's conducive to that.
Oh, so why not? Why can't we say that it is?
What if the boss says, oh, this guy stayed 5 minutes longer,
yeah.
Maybe I should promote him, maybe I see he's giving more than the usual, I now have an opportunity...
to show I like him. I like his state of
mind. Right, it could be like that. So it could be that. That could be. That's what he says. That little ma'at could be. You know, my Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Wein, would always give the example about Elisha. What did the lady say to Shunamis? Kim asuch shemen. Remember the passage? All I have is an asuch shemen. All I have is one flask of oil. So, like, I don't have money. I don't have anything. But what happened to that, the case in Malachim? What happened in Malachim? Right. So my Rosh Hashiva always said, see, it's not so much the oil, it's the kelim. That's what he always said, that we need kelim, we need receptacles. In other words, if you provide kelim for Hashem's bracha as a conduit, then you can start with very little. All you need is very, very little. So sometimes the kelim could be our bitachon. There could be very little material here, but if I make myself into a conduit, a receptacle of Hashem's brachos, that could become containers and containers and containers of oil. So it could be that a tiny bit, if that's a mashal, I don't know if that helps at all here, but that's an example. Does that make any sense as a mashal? Because I'm supposed to be a kli kibul for Hashem's bountiful brachos also. So I can make myself a keli. I have very little material. It could be the 5 minutes. It could be the one ticket. But if I open my mind to the fact that Hashem has no limits to how many kelim he can fill with a very little bit of material, so then it can really blossom into a bunch. Okay, I don't know if it directly answers the question. I just think that's the way that I hear it. Yes.
So, bitachon in definition is using teva for miracles. Like, teva is limited, but using teva in a way that Hashem can turn it into an ace.
Right, so teva, using teva, the question is, what bitachon could be using teva in a way that Hashem could turn it into an ace. Right, it could be an ace nister, doesn't have to be, obviously we're not looking at an ace niggle here, an ace nister is fine. Also, I want to mention one thing about teva. I've been thinking a lot about teva. If you think about teva, where do you see the word teva? Where does the shorish come up in other places? Can anybody think, where is the usage of that shorish? Somewhere in the pasuk. I always think, tu b'u v'yam suf. They sank in the Yam Suf. Now sinking, again, back to the offer again, sinking into the material and into Gashmias and to physicality and to the offer and being stuck in that mud. Remember Tit HaYovein we talked about? It says, David Hashem, he said Hashem brought me up from Tit HaYovein. And what it is with Teva, really Teva pulls us, it's like quicksand. And that, if we're stuck in it, then we're really stuck. Also, a matbea. What's a matbea? Right, now why is a coin? The word matbea is mi teva, if you look at the word. Because what's true about coins, and by the way, based on the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, I'm saying this, every coin is the same as the other one. Because you know what teva is all about? People say, by nature, these are the statistics and probability, and there's a pattern to things, and things aren't going to be this way, because that's what teva is about. It's like a coin, all the coins are the same. That's what it says in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, says that, you know, it says when you make coins, they make them all the same, and Hashem made Adam, every person is different, which is the godless Hashem. Besides the fact that we should love ourselves because of that, see how important every person is. But I'm just looking at the word teva. So you mentioned the word teva. Teva is nature. But a coin is called a matbea because every one is the same as the other one. And you know what l'mayim min teva is? L'mayim min teva is it doesn't have to be that way. Meaning, just because last time it was a certain way, it might not be that way this time. Just because statistics and probability says this way, that doesn't have to be that way. That's above teva. So it's not anymore that everything has a pattern and everything's always going to be the same, because that's what nature's about. That's nature. That's teva. That's tubu v'yamsu. It's also be sunken down into the mud of olam hazeh. So bitachon is able, that bitachon raises us, promotes us from being sunken and entrenched into that quagmire of physicality and materialism, and that mentality, and that people say there are some things are just that way, but not with Torah Yidden. That's not, no, nothing has to just be that way when it comes to Olam Hazeh. We can go L'mayla min HaTeva, and that really we need to be talking to be able to do that.
To also sunk means it's beneath the surface, which is what Teva is. That it's hidden. It's something that's...
Oh, right.
It's not something that's showing. It's something that's under concealed.
Right. Perfect. And that's why we have to kind of... In order to see Hashem in there, we have to dig a little bit and things like that. That's right. This is all...
Realize there's more. There's a whole root system under the tree.
Okay, that's perfect. Right. So this is all related...
Say that again.
Yeah, I think it should be said.
For the recording, for them to hear.
That was very eloquent, that Teva is being sunken down because it's like below the surface. And there's a whole root system under it, which is there's more to it than, again, right, than when meets the eye. And there's depth to everything in this world. So it's our job to try to we have to recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu and everything. And along those lines, we're actually now going to finish up our study of the Maseilas Yesharim's piece on Bitachon by explaining two psukim that he brings. And I want you to know we have something very thrilling for next time, Mirza. Bezbas Hashem Blineder. We're going to actually go into a new text next time after we look at these two psukim. And I decided to leave till the end as a grand finale for our study of the Maseilas Yesharim on Bitachon. There are two psukim that he brings, and one of them is in Tehillim, and the other one is going to be in Mishlei. But they need their own study. One of them is, the Maseilas Yesharim says, David HaMelech said it, Tehillim Perek Ayin Hey, it's Pasuk Zayin. Ki lo mimotza o mimarav. Because not from where the sun comes out, where it rises, Motza, which is the east, umimarav, and also not from the west, where the sun sets. Below me midbar, and not from the wilderness or the desert, harim. Now we think harim means mountains, right? But we know that it doesn't mean mountains in this case. It does not mean mountains. Harim means promotion, like loharim, to be lifted up. What is the pasuk saying? It's teaching us that it is not our hishtadlus that accomplishes. How does this pasuk in Tehillim, which is the first time we're really seeing it, how does that demonstrate this? As Rashi explains, lo mi motza hashemesh, not from where the sun comes out, which is the east, umi maravar, or maravar, from where the sun sets in the west, lo mi hamid baros, not from the wildernesses, from the deserts, shatem Mefarshim b'shayara, that you go on long journeys, you go out on caravans, on business trips. By the way, business trips are important and necessary sometimes. But it's not the business trip that gets me the money. That's the hishtadlus I have to do. That's the tax that I'm paying. And when I do that, Hashem says, you paid your tax, and I will give you the parnasa. It's, we said, lo shahishtadlus hu hamoil. The hishtadlus is not what accomplishes. Ela shahayishtadlus muchrak. It's compulsory and required to do the hishtadlus. And as Rashi explains, laharbas mamon, to increase money, wealth, harim, lo b'chol eile lo harim keren. Not through all this can a person raise, promote, elevate himself, his glory, his kavod, his money. It's not going to be from this. By the way, the midbar thing, what's the thing with the wilderness? People think it'll just come out of the blue from a random place. Oh, people hear, oh, I had good luck. I randomly, this happened to me. Chas v'shalom. Lo mi midbar harim. Not from just some desert, from random place. Did I have an elevation? No. Look at the next pasuk. Ki Elokim shofet. Because Hashem is the judge. Ze yashpil v'ze yorim. This person he will lower and this one he will raise. Rashi explains, Ha'gevohim yashpil. People who are high, often Hashem will lower them. Va'nemuchim yorim. And those who are low, he'll raise, he'll promote. As we, again, just to confirm that the word harim does not mean mountains here, as you see in the Mitzvah Sion, Milashon Harama. So what is this saying? It's proving the often futility of hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is not what does it. It's that the hishtadlus is necessary, and then Hashem will give us that bracha. The Mitzvah David explains, Haharama, the lifting up, the elevation, the promotion, the ascent, lo ba lachem miruach motza hashemesh, has not come to you from the side where the sun rises, where it comes out of, lo mi marv, not from the west, lo mi midbar, ki einena ba me'eleha. It doesn't just come by itself. Hashem is the shofet. Hakol ba b'mishpat lefi hadin, says the Mitzvah Stavit. Everything's in Hashem's. Hashem has a balance. He has a plan. Yashpil eszeh v'yarim eszeh. He'll lower this one and he'll raise this one. But I love the Radak. The Radak tells us that harim is lashon of harama, of being lifted up. Don't think it's. He says merov hishtadlusa. See, he uses the terminology of the Maseilas Yesharim, which is in consonance with the Maseilas Yesharim quoting this pasuk. It's not from the more that I try, the more successful I'll be. No, lo tava lo hagedula. Greatness and success doesn't come because of my hishtadlus. My hishtadlus I had to do, and then Hashem gives me the success. Very different. Kim ayidei hakel yisparach. It's only through Hashem. And he explains, Ma Kodesh Baruch Hu Oseh, quotes Chazal, what does Hashem do? Now we think there's two random people in the pasuk. Ze Yashpil v'ze Yorim. One person Hashem will lower, one person Hashem will promote. Radak says it's a little more precise than that. It's a switch off. Hashem takes possessions from one person and gives them to another. That's part of Hashem's cheshbon, his calculation, his master plan. Because sometimes a person is holding on to wealth, and he's only holding on to it for someone else. Masha mashpil mizeh, what he lowers from this person, omerim lazeh, he brings it up to the other person. Hakol hu b'mishpat v'yosher. Everything that Hashem does is fair and it's calculated. So we have to realize, for example, the Chovas HaLovas talks about, which we're going to talk about more, Mr. Hashem, in the Orchas Tzadikim. Why do some people who are unworthy, why do they possess so much wealth and success? It's the famous age-old dilemma. Tzadik v'ralo, Rasha v'tovlo. The Gemara talks about it. Moshe Rabbeinu asked Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam, please tell me how you operate. I don't get it. It looks topsy-turvy. Well, one of the famous answers is, as the Pasuk says in Koheles, Ki lachote nasan inyan leso felichnos lasais letov lifnei ha'elokim. We know the Pasuk. Sometimes Hashem gives to a sinner tremendous amount of wealth and success. Why? Lasais letov lifnei ha'elokim. To give it to the one who's the worthy recipient later on. Who's good in front of Hashem. He's only safeguarding it. And what's one of the proofs? We know that after Hanukkah, what comes? That's right, Purim. And where do we see it in Purim? Vatasem Esther es Mordechai al Beis Haman. That Haman had an estate, he had a palace, he had a monstrosity of a house, and he had possessions and he had success. For whom? It was for Mordechai. He was amassing the wealth and safeguarding it and cultivating it and investing and growing and ascending. For whom? For Mordechai. Vatasem Esther es Mordechai al Beis Haman. Mordechai was placed over Haman's house, over his palace, over his everything. That means we should never be discouraged if we see, why is it fair? Why is it fair? Everything's is olam havuch. Hashem has a whole calculation. Hashem has logic to everything. Everything's just. And there's one more pasuk which we're going to end with. Al tigalaha shir. Don't exert yourself to become wealthy. It says in Mishlei Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, Mibinoscha Chadal. From your own perception and intellect, hold back from that. What is that telling us? As I want you to hear the Me'am Lowit, how he explains it. Umazhir neged haradifa achar haosher. Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei is telling us, Chaf Gimel Dalet, he's exhorting us to not pursue wealth, not to over-pursue it. Al tigalahash here. Don't sweat over it too much. Don't agonize. Don't have anxiety. Imtasig lemichyasecha. If you attain, you get what you need for your sustenance. Desi pukacha, enough for yourself. We have enough money. We have enough food. We have shelter. We have a wardrobe. We have a vehicle. In some countries, you need to have a vehicle. Bemalachtecha, through the work that you're doing. Betorach beinani. Listen to this. Betorach beinani, with an average, somewhere in the middle, amount of toil, somewhere, in, it's a happy medium. Al tiga nafshecha, al tiaga nafshecha. Do not exert yourself. Don't go crazy over it. V'al tamo yoser midai. Don't labor more than necessary. Sipukcha, de sipukcha. What's enough for you? It's called histapkus. The Ma'ala Salmino, the Sefer written by Yerushalayim, has a whole chapter called histapkus, a whole section about it. Making do with what we have. Lis asher, to become wealthy? No, you don't need to go overboard to become wealthy. Don't overdo it. Mibinoscha chadol. That's what it means. Al tiga. Don't exert yourself and hold back from your own intellect. What does that mean? Ki ein ha'osha talei b'charitzus. Wealth does not depend on cleverness and resourcefulness. It doesn't depend on our sharpness. It doesn't depend on that. Ela b'gzeiras Hashem yitzbarach. It's by the decree of Hashem. V'itachen shetisyaga tisyagea yom b'layla. It's very possible you'll toil day and night velosis asher, and you won't become wealthy. V'chadol b'minoscha. Hold back from your own intellect. Don't overdo it. Don't think that you're the one who can mastermind your success. Shelo titmeh. Do not imagine shetis asher. Don't think you're going to become wealthy because of your ishtadlus. Hafsek miliageya Mochacha bedrachim lagia lamamon. Stop putting forth too much effort with your brain, with all different ways to reach mamon. So what is this telling us? We can take a little vacation, mental vacation, and we're supposed to be talking, have be talking in Hashem, not to overdo it, not to overexert ourselves when it comes to parnasa, because there's a certain amount that we're going to have, and therefore we should have bitachon. When we have enough, we should have bitachon that we'll have enough also tomorrow, and continuing all the time, we'll always have enough. So today what we did was, we completed our study of the Maseiros Yesharim's second section about bitachon, and we talked about hishtadlus, and we talked about how much hishtadlus we should have. And I love the term that the Me'am Lois uses when he says you should use a certain amount. Torach Beinani, somewhere in the middle. We need guidance to know what's Torach Beinani, but Hashem also gave us the brains from ourselves. We can guide ourselves also in this with the Das Torah that we have. When we learn Torah and we stick to Hashem and we daven, we're able to do this with success in Mirat Hashem. And looking forward to next time when we go into the Aruch HaTzaddikim, how he discusses bitachon. Thank you so much for joining us.